The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Now, my next guest left her native County Cork and is on her way to Australia, having decided to take a gap year, along with her husband and two of her children, all made possible on the foot of her recent successes as a self-published author. Jean Granger, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And where are we speaking to you, Jean? Whereabouts are you in the world?
At the moment, I'm sitting in a 35-degree Singapore.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
So it's very hot and balmy here. It's beautiful. Yeah.
So you left your native County Cork, like I was saying. Was it just a few days ago?
Yeah, last Sunday morning.
And you're on your way to Australia with the family?
We're on our way to Australia. We fly tonight to Sydney. And we'll be there for a week visiting with my sister and her family. And then we fly up to Queensland and we pick up the vehicles we've bought and we take off into the Wild Blue Yonder and see what happens.
And how long are you going to be away for?
A year.
A full year. So when the kids should be going back into their classes in primary school, how old are the kids?
Siobhan would be going into second class and Aideen would be going into fifth class.
And so
they're 11 and 8. Instead
of heading back and getting ready, buying school uniforms and buying school books and all the rest of it, you're heading off on what sounds like going to be an incredible adventure. How are the kids feeling about it?
Oh, they're devastated, as you can imagine. Absolutely heartbroken. I'm looking at them now jumping into the swimming pool across from me, and it doesn't seem to be having any adverse effects so far anyway.
Well, that's good news. That's really good news.
Now, your dad is a primary school teacher.
Jean, yeah, I mean, what about their education, the poor things, you know, for the next year? I'm sure they'll be very concerned.
Oh, they'll be fine. They're not remotely concerned, but myself and my husband would be marginally concerned, all right. So, yeah, Dermot is a primary school teacher in Newcestown National School, actually where the girls go to school anyway. So he's taking a career break for the year. So he's going to homeschool them on the road.
Fantastic. And why did you decide to do this? I mean, what was it that... did you think about it for a while, or was it something that you just thought last minute, no, we're not going to do it this year, we're just going to take off?
I suppose it was kind of ideal timing. From the point of view of, I was a full-time teacher for many years. I taught in De La Salle College in Macomb. And last year, took a career break. I was part-time for 2 years, and I realised that it was going to be financially sustainable to survive on the proceeds of my books alone. So that gave me the freedom to travel. And Jim at school were very accommodating and allowed him to take a career break, and it just worked out because Aideen will be coming home to go back into sixth class, so she'll have one more year of primary with her friends before going to secondary school, so hopefully that'll be less disruptive. So it was just an ideal time for us really to do it, you know.
And why have you chosen Australia?
I've chosen Australia mainly because I have two sisters there, and I've got nieces and a nephew and brothers-in-law and all that, so It was a big leap and away from home, but with sort of family backup as well at the same time. So it's a combination of all those things. My sisters have lived in Australia for many years, so it'll be nice to have a normal sister relationship where we can go and have lunch or go out to dinner or something, rather than seeing them for a couple of weeks in the year and it's frantic and then nothing for 11 months. So yeah, we're really looking forward to that. And that's really why we chose Australia. Also, we love Australia. We've been there many times, and it's a fabulous country.
And your sisters must be absolutely thrilled that you're all heading over, and they have kids.
So
the cousins will be getting together as well.
Well, that's the official party line. Maybe they're secretly dreading it, but they're pretending they're thrilled anyway.
And will they be taking some time off and doing a bit of travelling with you as well?
Yeah. My one of my sisters has just got a newborn baby, so she's less likely to be taking off now in a caravan with a small baby and a toddler. But my other sister has two little girls, just a little bit younger than my two. So when they heard we were doing this, they decided to go off and buy a caravan as well. So we have two great big, huge four-wheel drives and two caravans, four kids, two husbands, and myself and my sister. So we're heading off and we'll see where it'll take us.
And you'll be heading to Australia just at the right time because their summertime will be starting, I suppose, when you're starting your
journey.
Yeah,
well, it's wintertime. It's wintertime in New South Wales at the moment. Oh, it's wintertime all over Australia. But so it'll be a little bit cooler than Singapore, which will probably be no harm. But, I mean, Australian winter is really very similar to Irish summer. So my sister keeps warning me to bring a coat, and then I look at the temperatures and it's like 22 degrees and I think we'd be on the beach at home in that weather.
We would, of course. And what's on the list now? What, I mean, have you got a very sort of strict schedule for the next year? Will you be, will you be ticking off things as you go around?
No, absolutely not. We don't really have a strict schedule at all. One of my bucket list things was to do afternoon tea in Raffles Hotel in Singapore. So we did that today, which was just amazing. Just really everything you would imagine it would be.
Raffles Hotel, of course, is quite famous, isn't it? It's a beautiful building.
It's very famous,
yeah. And what was the afternoon tea like?
So. Oh, it was incredible. It was incredible. The afternoon tea was beautiful. The champagne was beautiful. But I write historical fiction, and I've been reading about Raffles Hotel and the pivotal role it had during the Second World War since I was about 11 or 12. So it's been something that's always been kind of in my head as very exotic and very, very exciting. So it didn't let me down. It was everything I imagined and more. It was really fabulous.
That's wonderful, that has been something that you really wanted to do for your whole life. Was it a themed afternoon tea? Oh. Was there a theme around it?
No, funnily enough, we actually came to Singapore with the intention of doing that. That was one of the main reasons. And when we booked our flights, we discovered that they were actually closed for renovation. So we were kind of a bit taken aback and a bit sad about that. But they actually opened today. Today was the first day after being closed for a couple of months, I think, for renovation. So the whole place looked immaculate and beautiful. And food was amazing. And there was a lady playing the harp. And my daughter plays the harp. So she was intrigued with that. It was a really, really lovely experience.
What a beautiful way to start your journey. And then are there other things in Australia that are, that you have to do that are on the list that you want to tick off?
Oh, for sure. Well, I had to explain to the girls that the afternoon tea and Raffles was not going to set the tone of the type of expenditure we'd have in mind for the year. this is a one-off treat, We're making more caravans and barbecues for the rest of the year. But we went to go to the Daintree Rainforest up in the top end of Australia. A couple of years ago, I did a night walk with a botanist through the rainforest, and full of snakes and spiders and amazing plants and things. So we'll probably do that. And of course, the Barrier Reef. We want to go to Kakadu in the Northern Territory. Swim in the waterfalls that you see on TV and all of that. So we've a lot of things that we'd like to do. We're also planning to go to Tasmania in January because an ancestor of mine was one of the founders of the he was a bishop, I believe, out there in Tasmania. So I'm going to go and check out the family history in Tasmania. We've a couple of different things we want to do.
It's fantastic, really, because, and as you say, I suppose with your husband being a teacher and you're a former primary teacher yourself, your 8 and your 11-year-old will be not only experiencing amazing things, but I suppose picking up some education along the way and from a different,
I was a secondary school teacher. Yeah, I was a secondary school teacher rather than primary, so they get a bit of both. The primary school teacher, but that's the general idea, that they get a bit of life learning, as well as we'll keep up the books, obviously, but they're really going to have a lot of experiences that they wouldn't otherwise have. So I'm looking forward to seeing the impact. But kids are funny, the things that we think are going to blow them away often don't, and then amazingly simple things they absolutely love. So yesterday they swam in hot sea for the first time, and they were just standing in the sea, kind of trying to figure out what's this all about, because normally getting into the sea in Ireland, even on a sunny day, it kind of stops your heart initially with the pain of the cold. So getting into warm sea was a real amazing experience for them.
That's lovely. It's like getting into the bath, I suppose, really. And there was no numb feet. Yeah. You've left two older children at home, Jean. There's
yes,
adults that you're leaving
is the
abandoned.
Word they use.
And how old are the older kids?
They're the tender, tragic young age of 28 and 24.
But they're very sad that you're leaving them.
Oh, they're devastated. Yeah, particularly my 28-year-old. My 24-year-old is a little bit more. you know, independent, I think. But my older boy is realizing he's going to have to do full-on adulting now. Now that mum and dad are out of the picture.
Will they come out and join you at all for a holiday?
Yeah, they will. They will, for sure, yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah. And Jean, you mentioned, of course, that the reason you're able to do this, I suppose, that you became financially sustainable through your writing. Now, your writing, though, is quite modern in a way, because your writing is through the e-books world. So you publish everything. You're self-published,
yes.
and it all goes online. How did that start?
That started really purely and simply because I couldn't get an agent or a publisher. So, you know, when I wrote my first book, before I was a teacher, I was a tour guide. So I used to take groups of Americans around Ireland. And, of course, you know, in the course of conversations, amazing things happened and interesting things and funny things and tragic things. And I would tell the groups, you know, various stories, some censored, obviously. And they'd say, oh, you should really write a book about this. So I kind of went, yeah. But I did anyway. One winter I sat down and I wrote the book. And it's a fiction book, of course, my first one. And I sent it off to various agents and publishers. And I always smile when I hear people on the radio, you know, authors saying that they could paper the walls with rejection letters, because I didn't even get those. I got nothing. Absolutely crickets. So that was even more distressing. I was like sending out this stuff. And eventually, after months of hearing nothing from anybody, I obviously determined that the people in the industry who knew about these things knew that it was absolute rubbish and threw it in the back of a drawer, despondent. But my husband, Dermot, was convinced that there was something in it, as was my mother. And I kind of said to them, you know, you have to think that. You're my mom and my husband. Of course you're going to say that. But they were like, no, give it a go. And I was walking along the street in Cork one day and I saw a sign up for a workshop in Dublin on self-publishing, and this was back in 2013, maybe 2012 even, and I was kind of dismissing it, and my husband said, why don't you go up and see what it's about, you know, and she can't cost you anything, just go to Dublin for the day. So I did, and it really opened my eyes, and I thought, hang on, maybe I don't need someone to tell me I can do this. And I thought, you know, it's vanity, and maybe it's a bit embarrassing, and, you know, it's a bit pathetic. But I said, look, I'll give it a go anyway. And I've since come to realise that it's none of those things, because the market decides, you know. Mm. Yeah, of course, you can publish a terrible book yourself if you like, with a terrible cover and terribly written, but nobody will buy it. And the reviews will be atrocious. So the market kind of decides, and I've been very, very fortunate.
Mm. You publish via Amazon, so you publish your e-books, you write, and then you publish them, and then they're available for download, so your readers can download them then from Amazon. And how does it pay?
But they go through the same process. Mm. Does it pay? Yeah.
No,
certainly does.
I'm pleased to hear it does pay. But
well, I'm taking off to Australia with no job.
Yeah, so. There you go then. So it pays very well. But how does it work? So I, as the reader, would download and I pay for a download. Do I? Is that how it works on the system?
Yeah. You just buy it the same way you buy a Kindle book. But you can buy paperbacks as well. My books sell as paperbacks too from Amazon, and they deliver them to your house. So you can read them. The only part I don't do myself is I have an agent in New York who handles all my audiobooks. So Audible have bought the rights to my audiobooks. So they produce all of those. So they're the only thing. So the agent handles those and any foreign translations and things like that. But the e-books and the print books, I manage all myself.
Take me back to the first book that you wrote and you published, because presumably do you get some sort of an alert or whatever to say that somebody's downloaded it or that people are reading it, you know? And I suppose the first time you thought, it's working.
There's a very sophisticated, really, back end of Amazon that I can go in and see how many books I've sold in a day. And more interestingly, actually, for authors who are maybe considering this as an option, I definitely encourage them to do it. If you're exclusive with Amazon, as I am, your books then become part of what's called the lending library. And people can pay a subscription fee. This is more in the US than here, but you can pay a subscription fee. I think it's about $10 a month or something. And you can take books effectively out of a virtual library. And authors get paid a very small amount per page read. But when you have a lot of page reads, so I could have maybe 250,000 page reads a day, and I get paid a small amount of money for each page. That all adds up as well. So nearly half my income comes from the lending library, and the other half from actual ebook and print sales.
So it started then back in 2013. And how many books have you written since, Jean?
16.
Wow. And will you be writing now as you're travelling around Australia on your year out?
I definitely will, yeah. I haven't. This is the first time since 2012 that I haven't been writing a book. So it's a little bit, it's hard for me to give myself a week's holidays, but I have decided to do it here in Singapore. But I'll be back writing again next week.
Fantastic.
I write in series, so I have a lot of readers waiting for the next installment in one of my series. So that's the next thing on the cards.
And if we want to find out more about you, Jean, what's the best way to do it? And how do we get access to your books?
Well, you can look me up on Amazon as Jean Granger, or you can go to my website, jeangranger.com.
Excellent. Well, listen, Jean, I hope you and Dermot, Siobhan and Aideen, I hope you guys have a wonderful gap year. Good luck today. You're flying from Singapore now tonight to Sydney, is that right?
Yeah, flying tonight to Sydney, yeah. Yeah, so yeah, we're really looking forward to it.
Well, listen, bon voyage. Have a wonderful time. We look forward maybe
to
hearing more of you, Jean, and have a wonderful time, you and your family. We'll take a quick break. Our text number, of course, is 51551, or you can email ryan@rte.ie.